Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ezras Hashem Feedback and Insights, share number 166. We're talking about the book of Avraham Tversky, I've Got to Get Out of My Way. And we were talking about the problem of being extremely self-conscious that creates an feeling of inferiority that leads to perfectionism, that leads to a person to behave in a unhealthy way, to attract attention when they feel inferior to other people. And then we started to talk about the concept of automatic responses versus manual responses and how important that is. So let me give you an example of what Rabbi Tversky brings down here. Let's talk about breathing. Breathing is automatic. It runs automatically in one of the centers of the brain. We take over sometimes when we think, we concentrate on deep breathing. We say inhale, exhale, inhale, exhale. We concentrate on that sometimes. But we don't do this all the time. If we did that, then we wouldn't have our mind free to do anything else. We need to breathe in order to live. So Hashem placed that on automatic pilot. There's a part of the brain that just takes care of that respiration. Yes, sometimes when you exercise, you have to breathe deeper, and that becomes more manual. And on manual, you would basically have issues functioning in a normal way. So therefore, Hashem, in His infinite wisdom, delegated breathing to the automatic control center of the brain. That's all. Blinking, same story. You know, there's a cornea in the eye that could dry out. So could you imagine what it would be like if you had to control your blinking consciously? That you have to every time concentrate, oh, I'm going to blink now, in order to lubricate the cornea? Or, oh, I'm going to have to think now about the walking? Or think, oh, now I have to lift up my left foot, then put it forward, and then pick up my right foot and put it forward ahead of my left foot. Imagine you would have to do that every moment that you have to walk. We wouldn't be able to do anything else. And we'd probably go crazy trying to control our breathing and blinking and walking, and we can't do anything else. Or how Hashem made it, for an example, that you learn how to drive a car. In the beginning, some people go easy, some people less so. But ultimately, after a few years of driving, it becomes more natural. Some of it does become automatic. It's problematic when it becomes too automatic, because then you don't concentrate on red lights and green lights and things like that. But it is a chesed that it becomes automatic. Or anytime you learn a skill, and you do it, repeat it a few times already, then it becomes natural, and what was originally manual becomes automatic. But you see, Hashem did a very wise thing, a genius, that He created the functions that were necessary for life itself. He put in our automatic control. We could change our rate of breathing when we concentrate on it. We could change the way we blink if we concentrate on it. But a great part of our lives, these functions of breathing and blinking and walking proceed automatically and efficiently. That's why Nebuch, if someone has had a stroke or is in a wheelchair or has difficulty, then the walking becomes manual versus automatic. But in a healthy person, it's done automatically. But those functions that are not essential to preserve life and health, that Hashem delegated to be done manually. For example, you don't write a letter automatically. You have to concentrate and do it manually. You don't cook a roast automatically. What do? You think about what to write when you want to write a letter, and you think what ingredients to add when you're cooking a roast. You look at the container, it says onion powder and not cinnamon. You know what to put in the roast meat. That Hashem put into our conscious control. He trusts you. You will check the ingredients. Worst case scenario, you put cinnamon in the roast instead of onion powder in the roast. Not the end of the world. It's not fatal. But not breathing properly could kill you. So Hashem put breathing as automatic in your control. There is definitely a superiority over automatic function. So for example, you have someone who plays golf and they're a professional at it. They're professionals, so they teach you. This is how you grip a golf ball. This is how you stand. This is where you keep your head during the swing. This is how far your right heel should be off the ground. And so on and so forth. And when you put these teachings into action, it doesn't go well yet. Why not? Because you have to follow all these directions and you're on manual. You're on manual. However, when you're already a pro, when you practiced again and again and again, it became automatic. They don't think about it anymore. It is natural to them. They function on automatic. This is how, for example, musicians, you see by a wedding, these very unbelievable, talented musicians, they had constant practice. Some are talented that they could do things, you know, unbelievably well naturally. Of course, they have a gift, but they have to constantly practice and practice and practice. I once used to play clarinet, still like do it as like a hobby. And I had a teacher, a classical musical teacher, when I was 12 years old. And he taught me, you know, one lesson a week and had to practice and whatever it is. And he told me, and he was a classic pianist, a clarinetist rather. He played clarinet professionally in these concerts in Lincoln Center and other places. And he practiced 6 hours a day. And he was doing this already for 50 years. And he told me that to the ear, you won't tell, a regular person can't tell the difference. It'll sound beautiful. But to a sharp musician, he could tell right away. And they could tell whether you only practice 2 hours a day versus the 6 hours today, that day. So, for example, he gave me an example. He played something a certain Friday for me. Beautiful piece, like very briefly. A week later, he played the same thing. And to me, it sounded the same, equally beautiful. He told me, no, I was rusty this week. I didn't have time, whatever it is. I only practiced 2 hours a day. I could tell the difference in quality between what I played now versus what I played a week ago. See, even that, sometimes it's not automatic, it's manual. But the bottom line is yes, the more you become professional at something, the more automatic it is. That's how you have shimush in things. That's how a sheikhet becomes a professional sheikhet. A cook becomes a professional cook. And frankly, even a Talmud Chacham becomes even a bigger Talmud Chacham through shimush, through learning, through repeating again and again. That's the, by the way, the maila of chazara, actually. It's something to remember. Chazara, what does chazara do? When you repeat, review Mishnayis, you review Gemara, review things, it basically helps that what was once manual becomes automatic. It becomes part of your nature. It flows. It's fluent. You know, Rapam used to say often, he said someone takes over a shir, and if they don't prepare, it like hurts him. He sees how it's so not structured and it bothers him. He says, just with a little preparation and thought, how much more organized it could be. So very often, just to give everyone chizik over here, that things that you don't know how to do well, there are many things that maybe naturally you don't have as much talent as somebody else to do a certain task well. Someone's not a musician, doesn't have a musical ear. Okay, so he won't be great in music, but he'll be great in other things. Same thing with learning and davening, or learning itself. You think you don't have the ability to learn, and very often you have great abilities to learn. It's just that you haven't tried, or you haven't practiced, or you haven't reviewed enough. But once you do that, what was originally a manual thing that took a lot of effort, become more automatic and natural. Where people who did not know how to learn anything and they attended Daf Yomi Shir over years, and then they become more natural in the way they learn and the thought process, and all of a sudden they're thinking about kashas that Tosis asks, or that the other Rishonim ask. Even the first time learning Gemara, when they hear the Shir, they already were ma'ir to a question that they asked. And that should give people chizik. So going back to what he's talking about over here, pertaining to the self, except for special circumstances, the self, meaning your consciousness of yourself, your self-consciousness, needs to run on automatic, not to have your attention directed towards it. That will allow you to function smoothly. If for whatever reason you take the self out of the automatic and you direct it manually, it will become inefficient. Just like when you try to control your breathing manually. It doesn't work that way. And even if one cannot operate totally on automatic, it's a great benefit in decreasing the degree of manual control. The less one does manually, the easier one's life can be. So he talks about this, and it's such an important yesod. And we're going to talk now about how increasing the automatic aspects of things can reduce your self-consciousness. So he brings, for example, have you ever had an instructor, a teacher, whom you felt was not interested in sharing information with you, and he was just interested, or she was just interested in impressing you? Do you remember such teachers? On the other hand, do you remember other teachers who really were interested in your gaining knowledge? They were not trying to impress you, who really just wanted to give of themselves to you. Who do you remember more fondly? From whom did you learn best? Rapam Zecher Tzaddik Levracha was that way. He's a perfect example of someone who had very little self-consciousness. He was a true teacher. He wasn't looking at himself, oh, how will I impress others and make a dazzling share of this or that or the other thing. His purpose was, I am here as a tafkid for Hashem to teach my Talmidim. What is the best way to teach them? And by doing that, the self-consciousness went away. And by doing that, he was able to be the most profound mashpia. Because teachers are not only people who try to display their knowledge. Because there are people that do that. They drop names. They're desperate to impress others with their importance. Name droppers is a famous thing. Like, I knew this one, I know that one. He talked to me, she talked to me, whatever it is. Then it has to do more with ego than with sharing information. It's more to do with ego than with sharing knowledge. And the people who are listening will be reluctant to listen. They realize you're all full of yourself. You may have something valuable to tell them, but they're so preoccupied with their own ego and impressing you, so you won't be open to learning from them. There are teachers, Rav Tversky said, and I saw it in my life too. They were excited when you told them something they did not know. They weren't trying to impress anyone on how much they knew. They were truly, truly humble. For example, like a Rebbe who is so eager to hear a chiddush that his Talmud gave, or a student, a teacher thrilled that a student said an insight that the teacher didn't think of, and they were excited for the student. That's called a humble teacher. Because then their efforts to impart knowledge is sincere. And that's why you learn from them so much. These teachers have high self-esteem. That's why Rav Pam Zecher Tzaddik Levracha, as an example, you look at Mesil Sisharim, the way he talks about her Anav, he was that Anav. He was a very modest, humble person, but he had very, very high and healthy self-esteem. He had very high and healthy self-esteem. He felt comfortable in his own skin. Clear as day that he was like that. You know, he wore an old green sweater. I saw it for years and years and years. Had I seen better days, like Rav Nosson Sherman once described it. And when he saw it, it seemed better days. So when I saw it, it seemed a lot better days. But his wife sewed it for him or knitted it for him. He wore it. No self-consciousness. Sitting in the middle of the Beis Medrash when every Rosh Hashiva is in the front. No self-consciousness. People coming to him one after the other after other. Used to sit not too far from him. And that's name dropping, by the way. So guilty as charged. But the bottom line is he went to, through one person and another person and another person, change whatever subject it was, and he wasn't fazed by anything. And he just did what he needed to do with a lack of self, a lack of feeling of self. But that is the highest form of healthy self-confidence. The concept of being on automatic. What does Hashem want from me? And that is something that's very, very helpful and very, very important. Bracha and Hatzlacha.